And I believe that the chapter one sets the tone for the rest of the book that follows, what follows after. So it's a short chapter, if you just allow me to read it. It's a short chapter, but there's a lot in it. But I hope to condense things somewhat. Chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. It was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, and according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear thee for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house and fell upon the young men. They are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." 22 and last. "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So this is for those of us who are older. A few brief comments. So when we are stripped of all of our earthly possessions, what do we do? That when we are put to the test, and when we are faced with the challenges of life, what do we do? Do we build our lives on earthly material things so that if they are taken away, we also crumble? That our faith gives way. Well, I have good news. Doesn't have to be that way. So who was Job? Was Job a superhuman? Or was Job mere man like we are? He was. Job was a man of flesh and bone. But Job knew his creator. Job had a wonderful relationship with his creator. Job recognized and acknowledged that the things that he had, they were given to him by God, by his creator. So if he chose to take them, if he chose to take them away from me, then he knows best. He knows best. And we find that Job lost everything in a very short period of time. So, what if that were you? What if that was me? What if, God forbid, my house should burn down? What if a close family member should die? What if? What if any of these things should happen? What would I do? How would I stand? Would I be able to take the posture of Job? Job, having heard all of these things, this is what he did. We're told in verse 20. Rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. What would we do? We would pick up the phone and we would call and we would tell everybody what happened to us, don't it? My house just got burned down. My child just died. But here was this Job. Here's Job. It's a wonderful example. And it's so good when we can find examples in the scriptures that real people had these things happen to them, and yet their response is very positive. The next thing we are told that he spoke, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What a testimony. What a testimony for us from this man called Job. You know, I love to think of my dad as a Job. The strength that he had has helped us as children. I've seen several other persons, you know, walking in his shoes. But as dad, and he set that kind of example, it really encourages you to go along. When bad things seem to happen, you tend to remember, what did this person do? But here we find Job. He spoke, and he gave God the glory. And we're told that Job never sinned. Job never charged God foolishly. Job never accused God of anything. He says, in fact, I'm going to close on Job, but let me just read one verse from chapter 23 and verse 14. Job 23:14. "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me." God's appointment for my life is perfect. It's perfect. And if I can only have a sense that this is what he is doing in my life, then I'll be pleasing him. I'll be pleasing him. So that was Job. Let me just very quickly ensure that my sisters do not leave here today say, he only spoke about Job. So, and Job was a man. You spoke to the brothers. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'd just like to touch. Touch on Hannah. First Samuel chapter 1, I'm just trying to find the verse to begin to read from. At verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters' portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did it so year by year, and she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Because I know that we are aware, and we are fully aware of the passage, what it says. So in those days, we discovered there was a failure. There was a failure that fact we read that the priest was sitting down, and really the priest should not be sitting down, and you know, the lamp was going dim, things spiritually were getting low, and here was a woman, a spiritual woman, you would say today, here was a woman who had a sense of what was required. And that she was not about to sit around and allow things to continue, but she invoked the help of the Lord. She was barren, couldn't have children, and so the enemy used it against her. But of course, it was the Lord's doing. And here we find that she went into the house of the Lord and she prayed. I believe that there are many of our sisters who have not made the headline, who do not occupy the pulpit, but their ministry in prayer have been very effective, and that the Lord have used them and have been using them and is using them over the years. I believe that there are many sisters whose well done will be higher than some of us who speaks a lot. But that's up to the Lord. And so I want to encourage my sisters here, older ones and younger ones coming up. Do not get jealous of other places that tell you what position their women occupies. And don't be discouraged. Because actually what you're doing, you're obeying the word of God. But there are so many roles that you can play and have been playing, I believe. And I tell you, I've known of so many whose prayer have helped so many of us over the years. So Hannah prayed. It was a day of declension. And dear sisters, your prayers are valuable. Your prayers are needed. Back home in Jamaica, and I tell you, post-COVID, when you look at some of the assemblies, the numbers have reduced. When you look at some of the assemblies, there are very few children. But I do know that there are some sisters who are praying. Of course, I know that as brothers we pray. But I tell you something, that the prayers of the sisters is very effective. Because they have a heart for God and they have a heart for the work of the Lord. Heart for the local assembly. And so we find that this child was born. And no sooner than this child was born, verse 24, when the child was weaned, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, pot of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. This is verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So, beloved, we see that our sisters can play a very vital role in the work of the Lord. And here was Hannah. She didn't have to blow a trumpet. All that Eli saw was her lips moving. She was there pouring her heart out to the Lord. And we need more of that. We need more of that. And then we are told, afterward the Lord called that child. And Samuel became a mighty prophet. And Samuel became that wonderful judge. And Samuel served the Lord. And the Lord used him greatly. I'm sure that there are some sisters here who can recall some person whose life you have touched. And they have continued with the Lord. And the Lord has been using them. Okay, we have some young ones with us. All right, good. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Genesis. It's one of my favorite book, one of my favorite character is a young man called Joseph. I'm sure you would have heard the scripture being read about Joseph before. In this day when peer pressure has increased, in this day when the outside influences have increased and our young people are under such pressure, it is always important that we remind them and that we remind you that the challenges, the peer pressure, you can't avoid them from happening, right? It's reality. In this day and age of increasing technology, you know, when I came here, so I walk with my phone. I only walk with it because there are some stuff on it I know I could get without, you know, hooked up to the Wi-Fi and so on. But I said to my nephew, you know, I have my phone with me, and Mom wants to leave her phone with me, but I don't want to deprive her. Can you hook up my thing to the? He said, sure, sure. Oh, I need to get. I said, okay, here it is. That was it. That was it. But I said, my brother's not too far behind him either, you know, because he did it for me yesterday as well. But technology, let me be among those who says it's good, excellent, it's wonderful. And I believe that God has allowed this to come in because during COVID, we were talking this morning, during COVID, we were able to keep in touch. So I am not hitting technology at all. But I tell you something, that there are some guys out there who are behind these things, and you know very well as I do, but I try to listen to them and so on. And I listened to this guy one day, they were interviewing him. He said he was part of the first group that sat and to, you know, come up with a way of, you know, how to engage our children or young people and so on. You know what that guy said? He says, we knew from day one that it would have a negative impact on our young people. But we went ahead. He said, they knew. They knew it. But then we're not surprised because this is the plan of the enemy, to engage our young people. But I just want to say to you that when Joseph lived, the time he lived, he did not have computer, he did not have cell phones and all of these things, but peer pressure influence was very much alive. Very much alive. And when it comes to morality, it existed way back then because he faced that challenge. And I just like to read verse 7. Chapter 39. Oh, that's Genesis 39. I just say my favorite chapter, right? Genesis 39. Thank you, Brother Colin. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And the part of the verse I want to take out is, how then can I do this? How can I do this? You see, the enemy is very subtle. And here he was in the house alone with his master's wife. What an opportunity. And I could liken this to other situation, that here you are as a young person on your cell phone, and what pops up on the screen? Nothing that your dad, you'd want your dad or your mom to see, but you're alone. So it's an opportunity to be engaged and to continue. But I tell you something, what we need to realize is that the eyes of the Lord is always watching us. And that there's what is called a conscience. Wherever you go, it is there with you. And you're going to feel so guilty that you did this, although your parents didn't know. Although Brother Ken didn't know. Although Brother Luke didn't know. But your conscience is going to bother you because they've always taught you that, listen, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There are things that we ought not to read, things we ought not to watch, places we ought not to go. And when you come to the meeting and you look, conscience is killing you because, man, I did it. I watched it. Here was Joseph, away from home, a young man, full of life. And here he was with an opportunity to prove himself. But he remembered his God and he says, How can I do this and sin against God? See, if we will begin to bear in mind that God is watching us, that we need to please God, not just our parents, not just our teachers, not just our elders and so on, but God first of all, Joseph says, I cannot. And if we read further down, we will realize how persistent the enemy is. Because we're told that this woman, from day after day, she continued to pressure him. But Joseph's heart was in the right place. His heart was on God. And as a Jew, as a young man, we could call him a young believer, he wanted to please God. And so he did not fall for that temptation at all. So it's important that we understand that we are in this world, we'll face challenges, we'll face difficulties as young persons, and you can't take yourself out of the world. It's difficult. But the tools that you have been given, whether at home, at Sunday school, or at school, those good tools, use them, utilize them. It's important. So, it was this young man who was faced with challenges. And you will be faced with challenges as well, but there's a way out. He says, how can I? And things in Philippians, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So the strength can be found in the Lord. And one of the best ways to ensure that this happens is that you know the Lord as your Savior, that you accept him, and then you'll be able to deal with the challenges that the enemy will throw at you. I do trust that having shared these few thoughts, we would have been helped, and may the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's just a perfect way to spend our afternoon with this example of a man, a woman, and a young person interested in bringing glory to God with their lives. And so as we part from here, we can take that example, those three examples with us, and live in the light of them. Why don't we close with prayer? Father God, we want to give you thanks for your word, which is living and active. It was written so long ago, thousands of years ago, but somehow it's still able to speak to the current issues that are facing us today. And so we just pray that you would root these things down in our hearts. We're thankful for everyone who is here today. We pray that these words wouldn't be forgotten, but they would sink down into the soil of our lives and begin to bear fruit. Sometimes it might take a while before we see the evidence, but we know that your Spirit is at work. And we pray that if there is anyone here who hasn't yet come to you in faith to be saved, that today would be the day of salvation. We also think of those who weren't able to join us today for Sunday school, for one reason or another. Busyness or other engagements or sickness. We pray that you would bless them, God, and meet them where they are, giving them a portion. We thank you for our brother Rule, and we just lift him up to you and pray for him and for his family. We are grateful for his time he's able to spend here with his mom and with his brother and his brothers and the rest of his family. We pray you'd bless him in his ministry as he returns to Jamaica and all the different places he's visiting and encouraging the saints. We pray that you would speak through him and continue to do your mighty work as he makes himself available. We give you thanks for this time spent together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.